America and good afternoon, Australia. Welcome to all of you listening live on Facebook, LinkedIn or YouTube. My wonderful VA from the Philippines, Payo, is online live to help you with any questions that you might have. But you're listening to Radio Tony, Everyday Business. And today my co-host is the wonderful Julian Sicard, a LinkedIn specialist. And before I introduce you to Julian, just a quick let you know that if you miss any information from today's show, please jump on to radiotony.com where you will find links to everything that Julian and I talk about today and also direct links to connect with and speak to Julian either via his website or his email. So let me introduce you to Julian. Julian is an entrepreneur based in Shanghai and is the CEO of the number one LinkedIn marketing agency for online client acquisition, Genius and Sell. He helps Fortune 500 companies get new clients through LinkedIn. As president of the LinkedIn Local Asia, Julian has created a network of communities made up of LinkedIn lovers embracing the original idea of the LinkedIn Local, getting to know the person behind the profile. His Shanghai community is more than 3,000 members, making it one of the most professional and active networks in China. When Julian started his business over 5 years ago, he saw a need for LinkedIn in Asia. He had a desire not just to take over the market, but to help people acquire new clients online. The digital landscape has significantly changed in the past few years, and lots of people still don't know how to properly prospect online. So Julian's on the show today to guide us in our navigation of lead generation via social media and other digital means. And we called this show Client Acquisition Through LinkedIn in 2021. Hello, Julian.
Hello, Tony. Thanks for having me to your show. It's amazing. And we're going to share a lot of great value today.
Absolutely. I'm really excited about this show because, as Julian knows, I'm pretty passionate about the power of LinkedIn for lead generation and LinkedIn for business people all over the planet.
Yeah.
So, Julian, I wanted to start today by talking about some of the things that have changed in the last 5 years in terms of online lead generation and prospecting.
Oh, yeah. A lot of things, again, have changed. Again, if we take a step back, so 5 years ago, it was 2016. There was a very beginning of the professionalization on YouTube. And again, we went from blogging to really more and more video content. I would say right now this is a no. But more specifically on LinkedIn, LinkedIn was a platform where actually it was not rated really about content, but the perceived value was more about, okay, this is a platform to really, you know, apply for jobs and things like that. And of course, we have to come back in the basic on how actually a social media platform, again, get traction. And it's mainly because of the engagement. And here and there, the more you get engagement, the more you're going to get people spending time. Of course, then the value increase for that platform, and especially about ads or subscription that they can sell. And so I would say in the last 5 years, for more specifically for LinkedIn, it has been to be coming from this application platform for applying for job to actually a platform that is focusing right now about content creation. The particularity of LinkedIn, it has been always to focus about being professional. And again, I think a lot of users remain that it's not Facebook, it's not Instagram. LinkedIn user, it's almost like, we are not trash, you know. Here we are talking about smart thing. We remain professional, we remain correct. So I would say that the main thing that, remain on that platform. And again, right now the platform push every user to be a content creator. And here is why. In a world that is changing and in order, again, to gain the trust of people, if you want to sell your services or your product, you need to educate people about what you have to offer. And I would say that the main changes regarding the platform, it's like the algorithm push every user to actually, create the content in order to, again, be perceived as the leader of your industry. No matter what is your industry, let's say live streamer or a photographer, it's really sharing about, what you know and offering value to the user. Yeah.
So back, I know when I started LinkedIn years ago, it was primarily to look for jobs. So that area is still open to people, but it's so much more than that now, isn't it, Julian? So it has sort of transferred from that primary place where you went and looked for jobs to holding its own as a business content platform, hasn't it?
Yeah, correct. And again, I think that the objective of a social network like that, again, we have to remember that Microsoft on LinkedIn, and so far, again, the growth is still there. Right now, it's 750 million users worldwide. A network that, again, is pretty unique. And especially here in China, the other social networks such as Facebook or Instagram are blocked. But LinkedIn is the only Western social media that is not blocked here in China. So they still have traction. There is still have opportunity to grow. And indeed, they build the thing step by step. First focusing, of course, taking the lead about job application. And then, how we grow all of this? And of course, that's the thing. I mean, they engage with specialists from other social media. They recruit in order, to make that platform bigger and extend the possibilities. So again, we're going to see the evolution, but what we can tell, there is more engagement. There is more content creator. And there's maybe also the thing that changed over the last 5 years.
Yes.
3-4 years ago, if you were one of the first of making content, it was easy to be perceived as an influencer. Right now, you have so much competition. And again, I think on any social media, that's a war. We fight for the attention of people. Because now we have so many distractions. And again, just like a study about actually that has been done again by Microsoft in 2018, humans have only 8 seconds of attention span. So there's not a lot. And that's why even in the way you create content, you need to do it in a smart way in order to bring interest for people on the internet, to be remembered. Again, the importance is like, you will always have haters and people that like you. But in the end, what is the most important is being consistent in the content creation in order that people remember you. That's the most important. You want to be remembered.
Julian, I wanted to talk today a little about some of the etiquette around online lead generation on social media in general terms and how that might differ from lead generation in LinkedIn. And before I get you to answer that, I'm just in terms of etiquette, one of the things I want to say up front, and for those gentlemen that are listening, LinkedIn is not a dating website. Please connect with us. I know lots of my fellow women are quite strong responses, and I actually like to give people the opportunity because I'm education focused, like you, Julian, and I'll often just say, "Hey, lovely to connect. Just pointing out, LinkedIn is not a dating website. Happy to talk business, but it stays on LinkedIn, etc., etc., etc." whereas I know other women are just like block, delete. So please don't use it as a dating website, because it's not, is it, Julian?
Correct. When you enter on LinkedIn, and this way actually is pretty unique, every user is going to remember, to remind everyone. And this way it's pretty impressive, because people don't care. They're going to tag, to remind this gentleman that you need to act professionally. Again, like I think like there is many other websites for dating, so
please. Absolutely. One of the reasons I love LinkedIn so much is because it's supposed to be about business. And that's why.
It changed a lot. There was a lot of issue indeed with woman harassment.
Yes.
But it was more 2 years ago. So far, recently, I don't know. It's maybe because my network.
I think it's gotten better.
I didn't see any people really complain recently about that, about harassment against women, because people repeat over the message over and over, and I think right now majority of people and gentlemen have an understanding right now on how to act on LinkedIn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because think about that, you can be tagged. Everyone going to see your name, of course. So I think it's because so many content was like that. And if I do that, then everyone going to answer me, literally. So
yes,
that was kind of extreme, but I guess necessary. And that's for the better good. In general, I think right now the attitude is getting better. Indeed.
Yes, I would agree, Julian. So what sort of, when we talk about etiquette for online lead generation, what are some of your tips for social media, but mainly for LinkedIn?
It's what I teach during my masterclass, but you cannot begin prospecting if your service or product is not great. I mean, you can be the greatest marketer in the world, but at the end of the day, if your product or your service doesn't really bring any value to the people you are going to prospect, there is nothing we can really do. And again, LinkedIn just remain a tool. It's just a tool. If you don't know your basic, if you don't know how to do a sales pitch, there is nothing you can really do. The first is really about understanding who is your target audience. So let's say you are a Mexican financial advisor in Dubai. Of course, the probability to convert Latinos that are expatriate in Dubai and high executive going to be more higher. You really need to understand who are actually your target client, right? Or say I develop a coaching program because people took a lot of weight here in Shanghai after the quarantine. I'm French, so the probability, the people I'm going to target is a human resources director in L'Oréal or Louis Vuitton, for instance. Because I know the human resources director going to be French, they're expatriate like me, so the probability to create a good report is going to be higher. So that's all about really understanding and know first who is your target client. And when you know that, because of course you won't waste your time and the other people's time, you really need to understand who are the people that have the decision on the budget, right? That's pretty simple. Then, second is, of course, you have these people, but create a relationship.
Yes.
You give the example about, LinkedIn is not a dating website, but when you want to seduce a woman or a boy, again, you need to know the person. It begins with a basic rule like, hello, how are you doing? You want to invite on the first message, I'm Julien, I'm a successful entrepreneur, let's go to the restaurant. That doesn't make sense. So whatever, if it's for your personal life or professional, that's the way. You need to understand people.
Good advice.
What do you do? What are your challenges in this company this year? To again identify if there is a pain point on the other side that you could resolve. Otherwise, there is current, and you can qualify like that with a question. Okay, I would love to know more about what you do, but be honest again. So that's why you have a certain number of message. I would say in general is between 3 to 5 where you ask question, where you show already like, okay, you have an interest. And then the other person going to actually give a lot of elements, that maybe there is a possibility of collaboration. And then when you feel it, it's simple. You just go on the next stage. Hey, what about we just get a quick call to see what we could do together?
Yeah.
That could be the first way. Because you feel it. You feel there is a good energy in the conversation. Sometimes, you know, perfecting, there is thing we couldn't explain. It's just the energy, the way that people can talk to you. And you need not to wait too much. Just take an action. Because emotionally, of course, you need to create an emotional connection, right? And of course, the best way to do that is to have a call, or even better, a Zoom call. Because people can see you, can see your face. And that's the main challenging part, because the internet, it's already a dark and cold place. You really don't know who you can trust or don't trust, right? So that's really one of the first way. But the second way, and so far, that's the way that actually works the best, and one of the services actually we offer for our clients, it's actually to bring these people into a webinar, because to really to make the leads more warm, what we understood, it's about educating the people first. Okay, one of our clients, for instance, is a French guy that runs a digital agency. Specialize about WeChat marketing, which is another social media platform here in China. And then we explained, well, listen, guys, you are marketing director in Switzerland. China is still growing. How about you maybe you invest on WeChat to really understand the challenges of the Chinese digital ecosystem? Or one of our other clients, he managed one of the biggest headhunting firm. The same way, we run a webinar, like, okay, explaining the mistakes that you shouldn't do when you hire a top executive for your company in China. And after, of course, you want more, of course. That's so specific that, okay, the people literally at the end of the webinar, they book the call. If they express the desire. So it's not really about selling, and I see too much that mistake. People really want to sell, to push the sales. If people really are interested, or okay, you educate them enough well about what you offer, there is two possibilities, and or they're going to refer you because maybe they don't have the need, or they're going to book naturally a call. You cannot push the sales. Today it doesn't work like that. Our strategy is more about inbound marketing. It's really about, okay, let come naturally the people. Buy again, naturally educate them, not about, okay, pitching them every time. And after, when you have the call and that the people, okay, in the sales funnel express, let's say, okay, here is my budget, here is what my expectation. That's great because you can really see, okay, if you can deliver actually the services. And so far with this methodology, we found out it really, really worked well. But again, I think in 2021, and that's why majority of our clients or people that are interested in our services, they know the prospection right now, it's online. You don't have any other choice. And there is certain way to do it. There is a certain progression, certain step to follow, and that's why they trust us, and we bring amazing results to them. Educate people, I would say, is the key word. If you come from a perspective that you're going to explain like student, and I think it's also part of our background. I mean, Tamar and myself, we teach in business school. I'm even myself a director of MBA program in digital marketing. I think so far they really help us to actually understand that the pain point of people when sometimes they don't begin a collaboration is because you didn't explain well. But if you come from a place, you are like a teacher, okay, I'm going to explain you with a simple words. Okay, what is my value proposition? How are you going to get to return on investment? Because at the end of the day, you know, we are living in a world that's economic. We're going to live in economic depression, no matter what. The system is about to collapse. That's simple. It's just being pragmatic at this point. So, of course, now the trend, people are going to calculate a lot. Okay, I'm putting this number of money. How much you're gonna bring me back if I don't have a return on investment? So I think majority of the companies right now pay more attention on that. That's all about this. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Julian, have you seen in 2020 a real rise in businesses flocking to LinkedIn? So groups of, so businesses who haven't previously used LinkedIn starting to go, oh, wow, we need to be online and jumping on LinkedIn. Have you seen a rise like that in 2020? Did you rather see?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like the traction, even the number of our clients increased like crazy. I think there was a panic movement about, oh God, we are all in quarantine. I couldn't meet people offline. Then naturally the perceived value generally of our services inside the agency increased because of course it's like McDonald's. We have a clear process. It brings return on investment. And I think, the way is that, okay, you know, here is the thing you have to understand. Marketer don't have, say, like a good image in general. And it's true because, you know, there is all this keyword. It's a lot of smoke and mirror. Let's be honest. Yes. But our positioning from day one anyway, you know, when I begin LinkedIn 6 years ago, I was $70,000 in debt. I don't come from a rich family. My success, I made it on my own. All the processes that I created is because I have experienced it. And again, that's a thing. And you couldn't replace that. A company that would take so much time to really understand what's going on. So, of course, the traction about this really increase and they begin to, ask question like, how we can really generate leads, can I really cross like contract like that? And I think now it's part of the reality. It's part of the reality. People like accept that, you can literally cross the multi-million dollars, contract through a Zoom meeting.
Yes.
And again,
That's exciting though, isn't it, Julian? Don't you think that whole online environment is particularly exciting in that it joins the disconnected portions of the world together? So there should be no excuse why someone in Australia cannot link with businesses in Europe and America and Asia. There is no excuse now to not be online and using digital processes to create the business that you want for yourself. Yeah?
Correct. There is no excuses for that. And again, I like to work that way. What we are living right now, it's literally a digital renaissance.
Yes.
It's a renaissance. It's an acceleration. And again, unfortunately, I just take a step back because, we are already January 2021. We are the first affected by COVID-19 here in China. And it's simple. Because, everyone thinks, China is communist. It's not true. It's the most capitalist country in the world. I'm swearing. Like, really. And what happened is, like, the company, unfortunately, that didn't have any, like, massive digital transition before COVID-19 happened, unfortunately, they died. I mean, there was no compromise. I mean, seriously. So in the West, it's less visible because, it explains that way because, of course, government, they support the company and everyone. But fortunately, the people that, if you don't have an audience in 2021, you don't have a business. That's just simple as it is. And the companies that, again, take this massive digital transition, it's going to be the winner. Because in crisis, there is always greater opportunities and you can have a massive growth.
Yes.
Or it's do or die. It's simple. I mean, like, seriously. So that's why, I mean, like, yeah, my speech could look like very direct. But again, I just think it's still insane that people think like things going to get back to normal, because it will never happen. Let me illustrate this by a simple example. So when there was a terrorist attack in New York with the Twin Towers in 2001, September 2001, well, I was really young, actually. I was only, how old I was? Yeah, 10
years. A baby.
That's, yeah, a baby. But what I remember is when I took the plane, there wasn't like all this massive check-in. It was like taking a bus, like seriously.
Yes, correct.
See, 20 years later, the process of massive security check in the airport didn't change. And all these massive changes, or even about biometric passports, or even right now facial recognition, is coming from that event. So of course, like, the way we're gonna work tomorrow, they're gonna come from this two, maybe 3 years pandemic, and they're gonna adapt on this digital transition. And it's not bad or good. I mean, I think
it
about
just this, is.
Yeah, it is what it is. When I'm thinking about the Chinese family that never really take care or pay attention to their kid, of course, I mean, like, even like right now, the Chinese company, okay, you want to work remotely? It's up to you. You want to come to the office? That's up to you. They really integrate this. And I think it's for the greater good. Like, seriously, they can take care of their kids. It's totally manageable if, again, you have the right ecosystem inside your company. Yes. And there's a main challenge. So I think, like, it's not even a choice. You know what, Sonia?
I actually think, Julian, too, that if you're in business and you're not online and don't have a presence on the types of places where businesses hang out, you're essentially going to be left behind, even if you're a big corporation. So we're talking about big, medium, and small businesses.
Yeah.
You have to have an appropriate online presence to compete in the marketplace, don't you?
Correctly. And again, we do understand the challenges. I mean, it's a matter of it's being like an alphabet. It's like in 5 years, if you are not massively online, unfortunately for a company, it's like you don't know how to read or how to write. It's going to be basic competencies to have or to adapt. So, yeah, there is massive transition. How do you work from home? Not a lot of people wanted that. But when I begin my company from day one, I was like, okay, how we can create a company culture where actually people can work from anywhere. Well, I come from this digital nomad French entrepreneur.
Yes.
We're massively influenced, but a lot of influencers that, opens the way that, it is possible to do it.
Yes.
And I've met with a lot of these people and I was like, wow, that's so fascinating. Where is the point where we have all this technology to actually spend time with people that in the office that you don't necessarily like?
Exactly.
See what I mean? Like,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, and so, and I think it's so amazing. See, right now, you have people from the Philippines that are working for you. I mean, you contribute to different local economy, and I think
that it's so completely exciting that, as you say, you're in China, I'm in Australia, Teo's in the Philippines. We're all working together to try and help educate businesses about the power of LinkedIn. And we've all done that via the digital technology that's available. I just think it's completely exciting about what technology might come about in the next 2 to 3 years whilst we're still under the pandemic threat. And I think you're right, Julian. I think it is a 2 or 3 year scenario, and I do think that the world will be depressed, in recession for a number of years. However, that doesn't mean that we can't still drive business and keep growing. And those of us that are already online are starting to reap some of those benefits of having pivoted and put all of our stuff online like you and I have. Yeah. So, Julian, I know that you're a process-driven person, as am I. So my process-driven started from my nursing background, where I became an operating theatre nurse. And, of course, everything is about process from the beginning of an operation to the end of an operation. But in terms of general processes around online lead generation, and in particular LinkedIn, what are some of your tips around these processes, Julian?
Again, it's about measuring. We don't, again, like we don't do marketing for fun. At the end of the day, it's because you want to earn money. And just to lean on what you have said previously, money is an energy. It doesn't disappear. Even if the environment changes, there is always money. The money doesn't disappear even if there is a crisis. It's on the way you think, okay, what's going to be the process to actually reach out the fastest to that money and to provide a value? Because, of course, if you don't provide value, then, you know, building a reputation that takes a lot of time, but to destroy a reputation that takes 2 seconds. That's just the way it works. And again, the process is very simple. It's like you need to think about, okay, what is your task? How long this task takes? Because again, the only value in this reality is the time. The time, it's a value you cannot buy. I mean, like, okay, if you are Bill Gates, at the end of the day, we're all going to die. And that's it. Yeah. Like, there is no way to extend your time. So how do you minimize the time in order? So that's why for us inside our company, that's the way it works. Or even the way we manage our client account. Okay, how many times, how many minutes you spend on that task, and what is really the benefits? How many registrants into a webinar you bring? Let's say, okay, 30. Okay, great. What is the attendance rate? 15. Okay, at the end of the webinar, how many people book? And how many people from this call actually bring money for the client or for our agency? Because we use actually the same process for our that. So it's again the process. It's you need to measure all the tasks. I did this. How you do it, and why you do it. What is your expected result? So again, an advice. It's very simple. So let's think. Okay, you're gonna set up for your company a process. It's actually something we are trying right now because, we want to diversify the income. Yep. We were like, okay, we're gonna set up different accounts on Upwork, and we are going to create a process with a certain sequence of messages. Okay.
Yes.
So we're gonna send, let's say, 120 proposal a week, but we only want people that pay a certain amount of money. So see, first we delimit a filter. Second, we create a process that can be repeated. So because if there is no repetition, if it's only for one time, meaning like, okay, you're going to waste your time. And third, okay, from that process, the time investment, let's say we're going to say 2 hours a day. At the end of the week, how much you bring to the company? $1,000, $2,000. So let's say, okay, week one, you bring $2,000. Okay, that's great. Next week, are you going to bring $3,000 thanks to that process? Because the growth is, let's say, okay, if each week, thanks to that process, you just bring $2,000, $2,000, it's not a growth. It's just linear.
It's just
need to, yeah? to actually scan the same amount of result week by week. That's why inside our company, it's simple. Monday morning, it begins. Okay, here is your objective. We don't care really, we don't measure really about the hours.
Yes.
But in the end, like, okay, on Friday, did you reach the number of registrants for your webinar? Did you raise the number of money? Okay, you failed, but you take your Saturday. You didn't reach, you didn't succeed on Saturday?
Yes.
Make me an action plan right now. Make me an action plan. Why it failed?
Yeah.
And that's why, and after, okay, to make the process better, it's about, okay, analyze. Okay, we didn't reach the result. Okay, then okay, what are the pain points? Let's debrief, let's brainstorm to understand. And that's the way actually to make the process better. But again, it's all about, okay, who do you target? The way you deliver the message and analyze the result. And if there is pain points, you didn't reach the KPI of the week.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah, you have to take a step back and to, again, make your action plan. And why I say week by week, because if you said, I don't know, I want to reach $1 million US dollars in 6 months, that's unachievable. But
yes,
if you set up the KPIs, the objective of each team member week by week, that's going to be more easier to track and take a step back. That's why I say to my team, you didn't reach your KPI, that's simple. You should fucking cry. So you reach your KPI, that's great. You're going to be happy and you have your Saturday and Sunday off. That's it.
Yeah.
And everyone is implicated. You fail, that's the responsibility of everyone in the team. So that's our company culture and that's the way we drive the process. Because again, the process, as you explained, needs to be driven by a certain company culture. And I do think, again, only week by week, and by this, I would say, do or die philosophical culture, that keep everyone accountable, because numbers keep everyone accountable inside the team. And there's a way it works, and it works well.
Yeah. Julian, do you have written processes around that for your team to follow? So do you have standard operating processes that say, okay, this is the process we follow, these are the scripts we use? Is that how it works for you and your lead generation within Genius Excel and Cell, rather?
Yeah, so, okay, let me back when I was 18 years old. The first experience, actually, I was making Big Macs at McDonald's. And I do understood, and I had a lot of, I admire actually Ray Kroc that really bring, like the measurements. Okay. Because people, of course, what is a pain point? They want to be served very fast. So, okay. How long it takes to cook a steak? So I was like, okay. So that was one of the massive actually, internal digital transitions that we took last year.
Yes.
I was like, we need to centralize everything, meaning like the way we operate needs to digitally, or we run an account or the prospection is like you make a Big Mac. You know, to reach the result that is a Big Mac, or I don't know, the KPI of 30 registrants. Okay, we have to calculate everything. So that's the step. So we centralize everything in a Discord channel. It's like Slack, if you know Slack.
Yes, yes. Or ClickUp or Asana. Yeah.
Yeah. The problem in the digital ecosystem, it's like we have so many tools that there was a necessity of centralizing everything. So that's the way we did. Like, for example, for each client, we have a dedicated channel with automation. Yeah. So we use actually Zapier. That, okay, one person, okay, register for a webinar, automatically we know this. Okay, or someone pay that amount of money, automatically it appear on the channel like that. We don't need to reach here and there, because the problem, like if you have to check the email and this and this and that, even for my email, it's centralized on Discord. I have a dedicated channel for everything. Now the way, indeed, that we proceed. there is things that, again, can be repeated. So we have indeed on Evernote process for each account, yes, a sequence of message that, yes, is very simple, copy paste, but the automation has a certain limit. You need to combine automation with manual messages. So yes, that's the way it puts in. And again, for automation, indeed, we have a bot that our power is going to tell you, okay, we call him Billy the Panda. It's a cute little panda. Because in the company culture, it's a main challenge. How you make it more fun? How you bring, yes, more gamification? So, for example, yes, you know, like when we have let's say someone that book a call. I don't know if you know the Wolf of Wall Street with Leonardo DiCaprio. We have an emoji like that where actually you see Leonardo DiCaprio bringing out money, you know. So that's all about that, bringing automation. And again, that we don't have to, everyone read up the agenda that on calendar, but it's already integrated with the Discord channel like that. Yes. Automatically they know, okay, this is a task that I have to, yes, do. The bots, yep, remind you, okay, hello, Angel, you have 30 minutes to complete this task. Check the green emoji when it's completed.
Yeah.
That put a certain accountability and pressure. And at the end, all our automation is made by a bot. And everything that can be automated or copy-paste task, it's, yes, integrated on Evernote. And after, let's say we're gonna have like maybe a Google Sheet report for tracking the objective. But because the bot tell you everything, you have access direct to the direct link to complete everything. And indeed, mm-hmm, something that you highlight, it's about the main issue can be. One of the key in a company is to fire fast and hire slow. But again, yes, you are not about a bad surprise that someone gonna leave you just like that. So that's, yes, why, again, the way we set up the process in 24 hours, if I have a new recruitment, that person is going to be operational. Because all, yeah, my processes are actually recorded and centralized. Per person, I don't know, like let's say a copywriter needs to do, yes, SEO. Everything, yes, is done. Okay, here is your 12 hours training. And after, if one person leave, by the next one gonna be integrated on the Google Calendar, I'm going to receive the same messages with all the video process that explain. Okay, you don't know. Yes. Okay, that's good, John. You're gonna recheck again the video process on how to do.
Yeah.
So that's a smart way. Because again, like if you begin to explain one by one to each one recruit, you never stop. I mean,
yes,
too much time.
Yes.
Well, that would be my advice for the business owners that listen to the show right now. Begin to make a list of all the tasks and, yes, begin to create a library per job, yes, description. I don't know, like your business developer or copywriter or graphic designer. On each one, because necessarily you have tasks that repeat and centralize them into a library. That's a smart way. Because if someone like that tell you, yeah, sorry, I'm going to leave the company,
three weeks,
1 month of transition. No, it's insane. In today's world, you need to have people. Sorry?
Did you start doing that process right at the beginning? So you're like 5-6 years into your business process. Did you immediately start doing those things, or have you done them over time? And how long did that sort of take you to do those things? Or is it something you do like every week?
I actually understood, because here is the thing. What is challenging? Okay, that could look very arrogant, but yes, I think I'm smarter than 99% of people. And for me, everything is natural. And that was a challenge. When I begin to have people under my management, so
yes,
can you imagine? I was 23 years old, so I begin to yearn because I had a frustration. But then I become from a place of understanding, and I do understand that people actually, I need to simplify my message, and I need to create an environment that actually even the dumbest people in the world gonna be able to do it.
To understand.
And again, we come back to the basics. That's the McDonald's process. If you want it. Seriously, I think my experience, it was only 2 months, but at McDonald's is where I actually learned the most.
Yes.
That's very kind of a paradox because I work for the French embassy. I mean, even in the past, I had prestigious position. But I mean, seriously, McDonald's taught me a lot.
And the process.
If you see the integration, but directly people are operational in 12 hours.
We did lots of automation for us in 2020, and we're on that process of writing down, okay, this, and this. So I was asking from a, relatively new business perspective.
And so to come back to your question, no, it's not something that appear like that. I'm someone that is first very teachable. I'm aware, of my, what can be my weaknesses. But right now, of course, with the time after 6 years of entrepreneurship, you begin to understand better the people, and I try to set up for them because I'm the process guy, literally, to make their work comfortable. Because here is the thing: when you create such an environment, then they don't have any excuses to not reach the results.
Definitely.
And create also less frustration for the management team, people level, and for the employees themselves. That's it.
Yes.
But I would say, no, again, it's gradually. It took time.
Yes.
Time by time.
It does take time, doesn't it? There's a certain, I don't know, I guess there's a naivety when you start business that everything's going to like fall in. But it does take time, doesn't it, Jillian? It takes time to work out what works within your business. It takes time to work out just what your niche and your products will be and how they'll fit within your business. And it does allow yourself the time and the patience to get that right because it's important, isn't it?
Yeah. Correct. I mean, people that think you can build a successful business just like that, they are totally wrong. I knew when I embraced directly the fact, okay, I will become an entrepreneur because, I don't know, I just feel so much in a position with the system that actually I would have hard moments. There were some moments. Before I come to Shanghai, during 1 year, I didn't go out because I saved every dollar I could save to be able to come to China. And sometimes, by the end of the month, I didn't have save any of money. The level of pressure when you begin, and you couldn't imagine, like I was working 70 hours a week. It was a level of maximum pressure. Sometimes I was crying. I mean, like, seriously.
Yes.
That's part of the process. Again, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Definitely.
And again, like, there's not a path for everyone. I mean, like, seriously, but now, I mean, I'm at peace. Ready. I know that I'm not under stress. And because if you are big to be under stress, unfortunately, the team is going to feel it. And, you know, something that everyone that is listening, if people leave some companies, even if the company is in trouble, it's not because the company is going bad, it's because they leave the company because of the leader. If the leader sucks, that's the way it is. And again, I do think, I do not have children or what, but you know, when you have people under your responsibility,
they're like your family.
It's like they are my daughter and my husband. And plus, you know, they have to feed a family at the end of the month.
Yes. So,
you play with life of people and directly, and why you cannot fuck it up. That's a lot of responsibility. Seriously.
Yes.
Yeah. So
definitely.
So That's right. And that's a thing that people have to understand. It's not easy pass, but oh man, I think you really feel alive. Because again,
alive.
The way I structure my life, it's about, and I think a majority of people should think, it's what is a legacy you want to bring to
you. Want
humanity.
To leave. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you, again, I respect if you just want, okay, to have a job, to survive.
Yes.
Okay, that's your choice. I mean, I couldn't tell anything, but I think it's pretty sad. And unfortunately, because we are influenced by a lot of things. Unfortunately, people doesn't have this awareness that actually they could bring a better thing for humanity, you know?
Yes, yes. The more people that we have living abundantly and successfully, the better we are as a human species. So I'm like you, Julian. I'm kind of invested in the betterment of all of humanity without exception. Now, before we run out of time, in the last 2 minutes, I really want you to tell the listeners about the amazing webinars you run. Now, I can tell people these are fantastic little webinars to jump on. Julian holds them every fortnight and they're filled with nuggets of LinkedIn goodness. And I know that Payo's listening, and that if you are live on LinkedIn, Facebook or YouTube, he can pop a link in there to Julian's, fortnightly webinars. And we will also pop the link on Radio Tony under co-hosts so that you can find the link to connect with Julian's fortnightly webinars. Again, great little webinars, packed full of LinkedIn goodness and tips and tricks about how to make it work for you. So, Julian, they're still fortnightly, yes?
Yeah. Thank you, Tony, for sending this through with me now. But, yeah, again, like we know that everyone is busy and we try to concentrate all the information. So what to expect, it's, again, the rules of three. First, okay, have to optimize your profile because, unfortunately, a lot of people doesn't really know how to do it. And that is the first step. Step number one before to prospect. And the second one is actually, okay, how you target, how you interact properly with people. And the third one, it's actually how to create content. As I mentioned previously, I really begin from the bottom, but in 3 months only, I pay off my debt because of mainly of LinkedIn content creation. At the time, I was a website developer, specialized on WordPress, and we teach a simple methodology on how actually you can prepare 3 months of content ahead of time in 6 hours only. I think there is a lot of insight, but again, as I said, all of my webinar, it's if you're just here to listen and then put in execution, that you won't see any result out of it, and again, guys, remember, execution matter.
Action.
That's it.
Yeah. Julian Sicard, thank you so much for coming on Radio Tony Everyday Business today to chat with me about all things LinkedIn. We are out of time at the moment, but just remember, if you need Julian's contact details, he is on LinkedIn under Julian, J-U-L-I-E-N, Sicard, S-I-C-A-R-D. But those contact details are additionally available on RadioTony.com. And the link to Julian's webinars will be up on a post in my LinkedIn. And also, if you're listening live, Payo will put that in the chat box for you now. So, Julian, thank you so much for your time. We have to go. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And it's over to you, TJ, and bye for now.